Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And welcome back in. Shreya Zlotta joins us, KU beat writer for the KC Star, on this Wednesday morning ahead of a big game tonight between KU and TCU down in Fort Worth. KU is a 6.5-point favorite in this game. Vegas thinks this will be a defensive slugfest. Trias, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're good. So where do we stand right now with KU? The big start against K-State, they get the win. It's been as dominant maybe as people thought in the beginning of the year. It comes off of an Iowa State loss earlier in the week on the road that was closer than the final score would indicate. How are the Jayhawks feeling going into this week? TCU and Houston at home are the two games.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty important week in a sense. You have to win a road game against an opponent that is going to be a defensive, I think, game for both sides, because their strengths lie on defense. And obviously, winning at home against Houston is huge. Houston's a good team, and you want to come out there and win two in a row, because I feel like we haven't seen Kansas win two in a row in a while. You know, it feels like we've been alternating between wins and losses for a little bit for the last few weeks. And obviously that's dependent on the opponents they've played. But kind of where I'm at with this team is elite defensive team, has the opportunity to become a lot better than they are offensively. But right now I think they're like 45th, according to KenPom, in adjusted offensive efficiency. So it's just not a great offensive team compared to the last 2 years of what I've covered under Bill Self. They've been much better even then. So I think they can be better. I think it's going to be a big test without KJ Adams, the defensive end, today. But really against Houston's going to be the bigger test. I'm encouraged by the defensive stuff. I'm encouraged by Flory's play. I'm encouraged by those things. I'm not sure what's going to happen with the offense. I think that's the big question mark I have. And I think that could be make or break them, I think, come March.
It was interesting, Shreyas, because I felt like we saw in the Sunflower Showdown AJ Storr have an opportunity to maybe break out of his funk a little bit. I think he shot the ball better than we've seen him shoot maybe his entire time in Lawrence. And I don't know if that's, you know, the beginning of better things for AJ Storr, or if it was kind of a perfect storm, everything coming together with KJ Adams out. You know, really, he needed to be leaned on a little bit heavier. What was your takeaway on Storr's play, and what do you think we'll see from him moving forward?
Yeah, I thought it was encouraging. I think that was the best defensive effort he's had probably all season. Offensively, it looked like he was doing the right things for the most part. I think he struggled to guard Coleman Hawkins. That was a tough assignment for him. Regardless, I mentioned this to another beat reporter. I think it's hard to take away things from games like Kansas State is just not a good team this year. Let's call it what it is. And I think the same thing that's going to happen today is, like, I don't think TCU is a very good team. I think offensively, they're just not good enough for me to sit there and say, I think they're going to challenge Kansas enough to make this a game. I think Kansas is a better all-around team at both ends. And by most metrics, TCU's offense is pretty putrid. The defense is really good, but this is the issue. It's like I haven't seen them give me this feeling with whether it's AJ or any of these other transfers that they accepted, Zeke Mayo, where I think against the top end of the conference or in March that they can handle themselves. There hasn't been consistency on that end. And that's my question with this Kansas team is yes, they can beat the bad teams. They can beat the mediocre teams, the average teams. But can they consistently beat the top end teams or even be in the conversation to beat them? Because they really weren't in Iowa State. I know we talked about it being a little closer than it was, and it was close, but Iowa State led pretty much the entire way. There was always a 6-point lead minimum, you know, and KU kind of let go of the rope there, and you see that the spread was, I think, 6.5, and Kansas lost by, like, what, 15, 20 almost?
17, I think.
Yeah. 17, yeah, yeah. So it's one of those things that, you know, I'm encouraged in some ways with this Kansas team, but it's really, really hard for me to sit there and say they are definitively the best team in the conference. I'm not even sure. Yeah, yeah. You know, and I think that's the thing, right? When you were a Kansas fan, the expectation was this team was going to be the best team, or at least competing for it. And they could be competing for a Big 12 title. They could, right? But it starts by consistency game in, game out. And I haven't really seen that from Kansas in a few weeks. And you know, it starts by winning today against TCU and then beating Houston at home, which they should do.
They're not the best team now, but I think they still could be. And I think if all things align and you get, and I'm glad you guys brought up AJ Storr because we are seeing him gain a little confidence. Flory Badunga got his opportunity and he was good in it. 26 minutes, but four fouls again. Shreyas, like, you know, like what's Bill Self saying about his ability to stay on the floor? Because we all, like anybody with eyes can see the upside of Flory Badunga and the things he can do for this team, but he has to be able to stay on the floor. And I don't remember the last game where he didn't have four fouls or three fouls or whatever it is. Like, he's still got to learn how to play college basketball. Where do you think that progress is for him among the coaches?
Yeah, you know, it's something Mills talked about where he wants him to stay longer because then you have him extended period of time out. I think there was that run when K-State was making. Flory was off the floor at that point. You know, it just makes it so much easier for Kansas to be one-dimensional without him on the floor. With no KJ Adams either, you know, the defense just kind of falls off a cliff. I think, you know, what Bill had mentioned is, you know, he's encouraged by his play. He was happy with how Flory played against K-State. But like you said, the foul thing is going to be a thing that we're going to continue to monitor because right now, you know, three, four fouls, whatever, not a big deal. We're in January. But if this is still happening in March, it's a dangerous, dangerous situation. You know, it's one of those things that, you know, if he's getting four fouls in the 22 or 25 minutes a game or whatever he's going to play in March, it's going to be put KU in a stressful situation. And you know, analytically, Bill had mentioned this and Evan Mia confirmed this. Kansas's best lineup right now includes Hunter Dickinson, Flory Badunga. It is a really good combination. You know, I think the absolute best is what I saw was DeJuan Harris, Zeke Mayo, Shaquille Moore, Hunter Dickinson, and Flory Badunga, which is an interesting combination because the first three are pretty short and then you have two really big guys.
A 2-point guard and two center lineup.
Nobody's
running that.
Like, yeah, so it's like obviously, you know, the combination of minutes hasn't been played that much, so that's probably why it's a little skewed. But, you know, I've been a very big Flory Badunga guy in the sense of I think he is the most talented big KU's had in years. And his skill set is something they haven't had since, honestly, Embiid. I think that's the, you know, the level of talent that he has, he could have next year. I mean, think about it, guys. He hasn't been playing basketball that long. He started playing basketball 14, 15 years old. And this is just the precipice of, I think, what he can become. And he's going to be a guy that's going to be in the NBA for a long, long time.
Hunter Dickinson, 25 points, 8 rebounds, 12 of 19 shooting from the floor. And he's had so much criticism heaped on him, you know, throughout the course of this season. And we've talked about him on this show. Like, I think, Jacob, what was the word you used? You looked like a, you know, old man playing pickup basketball at the Y, you know,
he's
like
got
that.
The old man trot.
Yeah.
Yeah. That trot back down the floor the other way. Like that. I know that's stiff. That's like, I can't throw my back out on the way back down.
But I mean, look, I mean, the production was absolutely there against K-State and, you know, he showed why he's almost an auto bucket, you know, for the Jayhawks. Are you seeing, I mean, obviously we're now midway through the season. Are you seeing signs that he's rounding back into that form that we wanted to see from him for so long? Or has it always been there? We just haven't really been able to appreciate it.
I see the flashes, you know, but if we go back to the Iowa State game, Hunter Dickinson wasn't very good.
Yeah.
Right. He wasn't great. And I feel like this is this weird thing with Hunter this year. And I think I didn't notice this as much last year. It feels like there's halves he's just unnoticed. You know, where he has 4 points on 5 shots and he has 4 rebounds with it. And, you know, you just can't get that out of Hunter Dickinson and expect to win a lot of basketball games or be in basketball games. I think it was a very encouraging sign. He took over in the second half against Kansas State. I think he scored the first 10 buckets out of first 10 points out of the half for them. That's great. I also don't think Kansas State had anybody who could really guard him. You know, like, this is something I expect. I mean, maybe my expectations for Hunter Dickinson are very high, but this is a guy who's been here 5 years. He's old. He's probably going to play overseas or play in the G League or NBA or whatever next year. He's 7'1". My expectations for Hunter Dickinson is 20, 22, like 20 and 12, like every game, minimum. Maybe that's a too high of an expectation for him, but that's the amount of shots he takes. That's the amount of usage he has. He's clearly the guy alongside Zeke Mayo to score the basketball for Kansas. That's the expectation. Maybe you don't need to get 20 and 12 every game, but it's kind of what an ideal version of Hunter Dickinson looks like. You know, he's not always going to be the best on defensive end, but you want to hope those numbers can come out. For me, what I need to see out of Hunter Dickinson is inconsistency. I think that's the same thing I haven't seen from this entire Kansas team, is game in, game out consistency. I want to see that happen more often from him. I want to see that happen from half to half for him. But I also want to see that from the Kansas Jayhawks, because, guys, when's the last time they've won definitively against both of their opponents in a week? I can't remember. November was probably the last month that's happened.
Hunter Dick, I'm totally aligned with that Hunter Dickinson baseline, because the reality is if he's either getting that or they're making teams pay for trying to stop him for it, that's going to be the best version of Kansas, right?
Yeah.
I also think I'm with you on Flory Badunga. I think he unlocks Hunter Dickinson. I think he helps him on the defensive end, and I think he certainly creates more opportunities for him on the offensive end. And we'll see, because KJ Adams, we know as of Monday or so, Bill Self said, will miss 3 or 4 games. So they're going to get some time to tinker a little bit and then hopefully bring KJ Adams back with a force to be that defensive guy he is. What do you guys have for us, Shreyas, at the KC Star ahead of this game tonight?
Yeah, I have my TCU scouting breakdown preview, and obviously Gary will be there at Texas today. So I'm back in Lawrence because I'm helping out with Chiefs coverage this week, so that should be fun. I think I'll be there live tweeting, doing the usual. It should be a fun game. I think it'll be a defensive slugfest. I think this Kansas team is so good defensively. I think it's the best Kansas team I've seen in my 2.5 a year on a beat. So, yeah.
And there's upside, honestly, for the defense, which is good too. We'll have Shreyas's coverage tonight. You can follow him on social, on X at SHRE98. You can find his work at the KC Stars, KU Insider. Shreyas, we appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's good stuff. I like 6.5 tonight, Tommy. I'll be honest. I don't know about the over under, but I like 6.5.
I like it too. I'm a fan of it. I think it's an opportunity for, you know, Kansas to Shreyas's point, be able to have a couple of back to back fairly convincing conference wins. And I think that sort of momentum can, you know, continue to push you into the weeks ahead as we get deeper and deeper into conference play.
And it's a game flow that you would anticipate Kansas is very comfortable in, because you can start with Hunter Dickinson and see where that takes you. You don't have to try to keep up with somebody like when you're playing Iowa State.
Yeah, and we didn't get a chance to talk to Shreyas about this. I think the only concern I have, obviously you don't have KJ Adams, that's going to be, you know, a concern. But the only other concern I have is that over the last couple of games, we've seen the minutes on the court and the production trending down from guys like Rylan Griffin and David Coit. Like, those two guys are not doing much. Rylan Griffin was scoreless in 12 minutes on the floor. And he's, you know, at one point he was, I think, the first guy off the bench. I know I think he maybe even started a couple of games for the Jayhawks. His production is trending downward. That's a little concerning for me. And so I want to see how the Jayhawks combat that.
You know, what sucks about that for Griffin is, but you're seeing the development of Store, and I think we all kind of see the same thing, right? Team's going to be better if it's Store that steps into that role. So we'll see how that develops. It would be, what would I think be great is if Griffin becomes an instant offense kind of guy.
For sure.
But they need Store to be better. We got more coming up on Sports Daily. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back on the other side. It's a Wednesday. It's all Brockton Caster. Stick around.